Welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I am your loyal host and producer. Starting the hour out with more of I See the Light by Passage. We're going to continue with Passage later in the program, and I'll be bringing a different song to you, but same group, Passage. What an awesome name for people born again, bringing such awesome, awesome songs. Passage. I see the light.
Oh, I see the light. Oh, I see the light.
I will continue or resume that discussion of power, and with that particular focus on forgiveness the next time around. Probably start that, as a matter of fact, next Sunday. And as you know, many of you know, keep in mind that because I know that many of you are doing a great activity, you're engaging in a great activity on Sundays, you're in worship service, you're not able to hear these discussions at that time. So I endeavor to repeat 1 hour of Sunday's broadcast during the week, usually on Wednesdays, and usually it will be the part of the program that is specifically referred to as spiritual perspectives. As a lot of you know, spiritual perspectives is one of the features of my program that has been a feature for years now. And again, I know that some of you really prefer listening by radio. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I know that, 65% of people who hear talk shows, programming like this, like to listen via the internet, whether through their smartphone, desktop, however. But that means somewhere in the neighborhood of 35 to 40% of people are still wanting to hear it by way of radio. So both are still good. They're both bringing what people are listening for. And so I make sure that even though it is on my website, speakingwith.com, for the benefit of the people who really want to hear it by way of radio, but they're not able to hear on Sundays, I'll repeat that broadcast again, usually on Wednesdays. And that largely depends on whether or not I'll have a guest for whom that Wednesday would work best for them, for their schedule. But usually on Wednesdays, but generally, you go to speakingwith.com, click on the link that is labeled this week's guests and topics. That'll tell you what I have planned for the week. If you want to, you can go straight to listen online at your convenience. And that will, of course, be a way that you can see what we have done for the week. And if you're saying, oh, wait a minute, hold up, I would love to have heard that, click on the links and listen. All right, so now I wanted to take a look at something else that is pretty interesting to me. It has to do with giving. And I'm going to be exploring this whole issue of why Christians give, with this information coming to us from Barna Group. And I want to ask you this. Have you ever seen activity that has to do with giving, and it sort of seemed strange? Now, just to keep us all on the same page, I want us to focus specifically on people who are churchgoers, people who purport to be Christians, and their giving. Have you ever seen giving activity engaged in that seemed sort of strange? Now, think about the various ways in which we can give. You know, we've talked quite a bit on this program about volunteerism. And so you can volunteer your time, your energy, by doing things, by providing a service for someone free of charge. And you may do it on a regular basis. You know, we used to talk a lot about the candy stripers who do a lot of valuable volunteer work, or did a lot of valuable volunteer work in the hospitals, serving the patients there. Of course, we have people volunteer their time to work with young children, and any number of organizations, providing mentoring services, tutoring services, you name it. Now, that said, none of that's strange to me. But I'll tell you what has struck me as kind of odd. People who are churchgoers, who purport to be spirit-filled believers, and they will take out 1 or 2 weeks a year, each year. Maybe they've been doing it for 4 or 5 years. And they'll go out on a mission trip to a different country and provide some kind of service to the people there. Usually, in fact, very often, to people of color. Now, I'm not just thinking about members of the white community who go on these missionary journeys and provide services to people free of charge, whether they're helping to distribute glasses, helping to distribute shoes, helping to build homes, helping to locate good drinking water and build wells so that there's easier access to the water, whatever the service is. Very often, services are being provided to people of color. And again, members of the white community aren't the only ones providing these services. Very often, you have black people, people of color, going on these mission trips and providing these much needed services, these very, very valuable services. That's not odd to me. This is what's odd to me. When people of color travel overseas on mission journeys, mission trips, providing very valuable services to people of color, and then when they return home, they have the same position about people of color that they had before they went on the missionary trip. They look for politicians who will push policy that they know is designed to hurt people of color, and especially middle-class people of color and poor people of color. They don't necessarily want wealthy people of color to be hurt, but middle-class and especially poor people of color. They only look for politicians who push the policies that are designed, that are intended to hurt. There's such an inconsistency there. You would think that the reason that they're going overseas on these missionary trips is because they have such compassion as well as passion for the people they're serving, that compassion and passion are just flowing through them as a part of who they are. But then they get back home and nothing but coldness and hard-heartedness flow through their lips. And you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Where did that passion and that compassion go? They were able to turn that on when they were getting ready to go overseas to impact people of color. They're back home where they live, and they take a very different position. They want to engage in activities, whether it's how they vote, whether it's people they try to impact and influence with their political rhetoric. Where did the compassion go to? Where did the passion go? Were they ever really there to begin with? Because some people do good works, not because they're moved by passion or compassion, but simply so that they can brag and talk about how they went overseas, how they take out a week every year or 2 weeks every year and go overseas and help this group with that and help that group with that. For them, it really is only about bragging rights and trying to soothe their consciences. And that's what makes it so odd, so strange. What's odd about it is when you know, they're coming across as though they care so much about humanity. that they'll take out a week or two each year to go serve humanity. They get back home and they take political positions that harm humanity. That's so inconsistent until you realize that for many of these people, passion, compassion, love are not what motivate them to go overseas. It's something to do. It is a good work void of love. And of course, we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that we can burn ourselves out doing good works. But if we have love, we're nothing. And I tell you how we know that. God said it. We can burn ourselves out in service. Verse 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. I gain nothing. Give all that I possess to the poor. I gain nothing. So, I want to use that as a backdrop as we move into the discussion of why Christians give. Now, we're going to take a look at what they say, at what Christians say about the reasons for their giving. And I'm not going to say that we should throw cold water on every reason given. But I do want us to be thinking about that, kind of have that in the backs of our minds as we think about how we have seen people give, and there seem to be an inconsistency at play. There are many, many people who do not give with their hearts. Remember what the Lord Jesus said as he stood in the temple and watched people give. The poor widow brought her mite, probably equivalent to maybe one or two pennies. He watched as the wealthier religious leaders brought their huge sums of money. And he said, this poor widow has given more than all of them. And remember now, he did not say she has given more than each of them. He was saying, if this guy gave 1,000, that one gave 1,000, these other three guys each gave 1,000. That's a total of $5,000 that the five of them together have put into that offering plate. This lady's three pennies, that's all she gave. From heaven's standards, according to heaven's standards, she gave more. Her few pennies are worth more than the 5,000 that those five guys put in. Because of the heart with which she brought her offering. See, you have to believe me now. I've shared this with you before. If Jesus does not first accept us, he does not accept our offering either. Think about Cain and Abel. Jesus, the Lord, the same yesterday and today and forever. Cain brought an offering, just like his younger brother Abel brought an offering. Abel's offering was accepted. Cain's offering was rejected by God. And God said, wait, hold up. I see your face. You're frowning. You're pouting. Listen, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Now, that's critical, ladies and gentlemen. It is not just Cain's offering that was rejected. Cain himself was rejected. And it is because he was rejected that his offering was also rejected. Let me take you back to that. Genesis chapter 4. Beginning at verse 3, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Cain brought an offering. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. Abel brought an offering, but look at the attitude with which Abel brought his offering. Fat portions from some of the firstborn. Now, some people would say, well, Cain only brought some of the fruits. He wasn't required to bring all of the fruit. God wants us to use some of that fruit to feed ourselves, feed our families, etc. Yes, it's true. Cain only brought some of the fruits of the soil. But listen, Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of the flock. Not all of the firstborn of the flock. So each man only brought some. Neither of them brought all. What made the difference? The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. Believe me, the order is critical here. The Lord looked with favor on Abel, and because he looked with favor on Abel, in other words, he liked what he saw regarding Abel's heart, his attitude, his mindset, his disposition. A man with his mind made up, he was going to please God with this offering. And God looked on him with favor, and so he looked on his offering with favor. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. He did not look on Cain with favor, so he did not look on Cain's offering with favor. Now listen to verses 6 and 7, which really seal it for us. Then the Lord said, let me back up for just a minute. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Now listen to verses 6 and 7. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? If you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Listen, he said, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Until Cain was accepted, his offering would not be accepted. So we have to make sure that when we're coming to God with our offerings, we're coming with the right attitudes. There needs to be consistency. We need to have hearts of compassion, hearts of love, hearts and minds that are determined to please God with our lifestyle first. And then, as part of the lifestyle, part of the overall lifestyle, one specific part of it, giving with cheerfulness, with a made up mind to please God with our giving. When we come back, let's begin to delve into some of the reasons that Christians give regarding their giving. This is why I give.
Oh, I see the light, the Lord is giving.